Is it really a boon for the banks?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open, a look at the broader economy as we're just minutes into the trading day. All right, where's Wall Street? Down right now, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ down about 0.5%. The Dow down about 0.25% at 86.90. European stocks slightly higher right now. Asian markets were up today, but Indonesian shares were lower. That's after Jakarta police said suicide bombers rocked a couple of U.S.-based hotels in Jakarta's business district. Big financials, Bank of America and Citigroup, both this morning said they made a lot of money, billions of dollars in the second quarter. Julie Nieman is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's joining us live this morning from St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Good morning.
So, after requiring all those bailouts, Julie, I guess the big banks are getting all that mojo back.
Well, so far, the analysts are a little embarrassed because they're coming so far wrong on how good these earnings are. But looking behind the numbers, well, Bank of America, first of all, they sold off China Construction. That gave them cash in the till. Merrill Lynch isn't bleeding them dry at this particular point in time. That's a positive. But they're still hoarding their cash, fearing future loan losses. You've got consumer loans that can still go bad, commercial loans here. That's the high anxiety here. Plus, you have that dreaded mark-to-market, which was a requirement that all your securities have to be marked to whatever the market is going to pay for it. After 3 months of a bull market, they've risen in value. Those aren't real earnings. They've just come back in value. So that's really what's behind it.
So a lot behind the numbers. I mean, let's talk about Citigroup for a moment. A third of it, Julie, is owned by the government. Did their profit report tell us anything about where the company is right now?
They've hidden everything. This is going to take real excavation to find out what they actually did. They had a one-time gain on the sale of Smith Barney. When you take that apart, they probably actually lost money on it, though. But they're looking at a continuing drop in operations here, huge credit concerns continuing on. We still won't be able to figure out for a while what they actually did or how much they actually lost.
So in a few words, Julie, how do you characterize what we've been seeing with these big bank earnings?
All jolly numbers. What's really behind it right now is all of the banks are hoarding their cash because they're so concerned over what's coming down in the future in terms of loan losses. Now, with all this cash, they could pay back the TARP money, maybe pay back some of the bonuses like Goldman Sachs, but nah, they're not going to do it for now.
Julie Nieman, thanks. Have a good weekend.
You bet.
The only automobile manufacturing plant in California is in Fremont. GM announced plans to pull out of that venture a few weeks ago, and residents of the area are trying to cope with that news. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
Beck's Shoes is a family-owned chain. Walk into their Fremont branch, and there are tables of comfort shoes and racks of insoles. But go in the stockroom with store manager Oscar Blanco.
This is like your basic.
And there are shelves and shelves of work boots.
It's, you know, your basic six-inch, what they call six-inch black boot.
These are typical boots at NUMMI, the short name for Fremont's new United Motor Manufacturing plant. It is the largest private employer in the city, and its shutdown would hurt other businesses throughout the region, places like Beck's. They've had an account with NUMMI for several years.
Well, it's huge because you figure they're given $110 towards a pair of their safety shoes. And they can only get their safety shoes at Beck Shoes, so that counts for a lot of business throughout the year.
Blanco estimates with nearly 5,000 workers, NUMMI's business quickly adds up to a couple $100,000 for the chain. And in a tough economy, you don't want to see that disappear. And that sentiment is echoed around the town, including at Kirby's Sports Bar, which opens really early in the morning and is just down the street from NUMMI. Here's bartender Lisa DiPello.
We open at 6 o'clock for a reason. They have a night shift there that gets off of work at 5:30 in the morning. So for them, that's their 7 o'clock at night.
On a recent afternoon, Dan Houle is there nursing a Budweiser. He's worked at NUMMI for 25 years.
Been there since day one. I started, we built the Chevrolet Nova, the Toyota FX16.
Houle says when he was growing up in Fremont, his father worked at the former GM plant before it became a joint venture with GM and Toyota.
There was a lot more blue-collar industry when I was a lot younger. I believe he had Ford, GM, Mack Truck, Peterbilt.
Toyota has said it hasn't made a decision yet on whether to keep the plant open. But to put the possible closure in perspective, Fremont lost 20,000 jobs during the tech bust of 2002. That's four times the number they'll lose at NUMMI. This week, California lawmakers started to work on tax breaks to help keep the plant open. In Fremont, I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Friday, July 17, 2009 at Marketplace.org. British Airways, like a lot of other airlines, seems to be flying on a wing and a prayer. The carrier said today it needs to raise almost $1 billion. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, reports.
BA plans to raise the money by issuing bonds and by raiding its pension fund. Drastic measures for a company that is clearly in trouble. BA lost $650 million last year, and it revealed today it's lost another $160 million in the first quarter. BA's boss is talking about a fight for survival. Mark Pilling of Airline Business magazine says BA is not in danger of going bust, but the airline depends on business traffic, especially between Europe and the US, and that continues to be the main problem.
I mean, transatlantic is something like, you know, double-digit 20-30% down on some routes. I mean, this is a huge drop in revenue, and therefore it really hits a carrier like BA perhaps disproportionately hard, if you like.
BA faces an additional threat of strike action this summer. BA pilots agreed to a pay cut, but cabin crew and ground staff are resisting further job losses. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
All week, technology companies have been reporting earnings. Yesterday, it was IBM and Google's turn. Neither company lost money. IBM's profit was up 12% compared to the second quarter last year. Google was up 19%. But as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, the tech sector is still suffering.
In Google's case, the better performance comes in part from cutting costs. The company's laid off workers and cut employee perks like free bottled water. Google's online ad business has slowed way down. New ventures like ads for mobile devices and an operating system to compete with Microsoft haven't started earning money yet. IBM's profit also reflects cost-cutting. It's laid off 10,000 U.S. workers. Still, IBM's sales look a lot better than other big U.S. technology companies. One reason is that IBM has moved away from selling computers and hardware, which have slumped most in the recession. It's shifted to more lucrative software and consulting businesses, like managing electrical grids and healthcare data networks. And IBM has raised its profit outlook for the rest of the year. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Today could be an historic day in India. Carmaker Tata delivers the first Nanos, billed as the world's cheapest car. But before you start making Yugo jokes, calling it the world's cheapest car is actually meant as a compliment. Marketplace's Elisa Roth explains.
The Nano costs about $2,000. It has four speeds and four doors, but neither AC nor a radio. Michael Robinette follows the global auto industry at CSM Worldwide, an auto consulting business. He says Tata's new car is pretty basic, but that's the whole point.
They are essentially targeting people driving two-wheeled motorcycles and mopeds as well as three-wheeled vehicles.
More than 200,000 people have signed up to buy the car. The Nano sounds dirt cheap to us, but it's still too expensive for many Indians. Even so, Robinette thinks it has the potential to create a mobile revolution. He says there could be a market for as many as 8 million in India alone.
In some respects, the Nano is breaking new ground in this form.
And creating a lot of excitement. Just about every car maker in the world, from Volkswagen to GM, is racing to come up with its own version of the people's car. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Okay, kiddies, SpongeBob SquarePants turns 10 today. Can you believe it? Seems like yesterday we were watching Scooby-Doo. And it's not just kids who have made old SpongeBob an $8 billion a year merchandising bonanza for Nickelodeon. Rico Galliano reports.
Robert Gottlieb is a toy analyst, but he says you don't have to be into toys to know there's a lot of SpongeBob SquarePants stuff in this world.
I have actually purchased SpongeBob carrots before. SpongeBob was on the package. When you get SpongeBob carrots, you're really out there.
Out there in childland and adultland, the silly show's appeal goes far beyond kids. Gottlieb says that's because it's got the wink.
And that's the ability of the creator to, in a sense, wink at the adult by having a message that goes over the child's head, but gives the adult pleasure, a little bit of a surprise.
The show's ridiculous situations actually speak to grown-up issues, like the time the dour squid Squidward moved to a gated underwater suburbia and wound up bored out of his squall.
We might as well rename this town Squidward's Paradise, or perhaps Too Much Paradise.
The result? An army of kids and grown-ups, among them our nation's president, who proudly pledge allegiance to Team SquarePants. VH1 just aired a SpongeBob documentary featuring testimonials from the likes of LeBron James, and a jewelry line is on the way with items priced at a very adult $95 to $350 bucks a pop. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
And if you're drowning with thoughts, well, share them with us at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.